Welcome to In Plain Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage, mail your check or money order payable to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can call in your debit or credit card number to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And Julie will be glad to take your money. This is your Monday Night Broadcast, where I do a rundown of the news. And I have joining me, because of the complication of the news tonight, Dr. Patrick Slattery from the underground bunker in Burbank. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Jeremy.
So we've got this warrant for an arrest of Putin. And this is from the ICC, the International Criminal Court. I don't know how legitimate that is. But in the wake of this, you have Putin visiting Mariupol and overseeing the rebuilding that Russia has done in that area since the Ukraine-Russian conflict. And you also have Xi Jinping arriving in Moscow to do diplomatic stuff with Russia. In the wake of all of this arrest warrant stuff, which I think is totally fake and gay. So what do you make of this ICC arrest warrant
for Putin? It is so fake and gay. Well, here's the thing. So the ICC has been in existence for what, 15 years or something, maybe longer, but the United States refuses to join it. And the United States, not only does it refuse to recognize its jurisdiction, but the United States has publicly stated that if any Americans are ever arrested by the ICC, the United States reserves the right to liberate them using the military, right? So if an American, and then, yeah, of course, the reason is because in the aughts, you had Donald Rumsfeld and George Bush and John Bolton and all these Americans, Paul Wolfowitz, they were all clearly guilty of war crimes in Iraq. So the United States was very much against this international criminal court, and you know, it reserves the right to invade. Where is it headquartered? Is it in Belgium or is it in Holland? I can't remember. But it reserves the right to invade if an American is arrested. But then Putin, they issued an arrest warrant for Putin. And, oh, wow, that's really cool. So Joe Biden says, yes, we don't recognize its jurisdiction, but we think that, we approve of its move against Vladimir Putin. And what is Putin's crime, by the way? Putin's crime is removing children from a war zone. Okay, so you say, well, what's the matter with that? Well, if there are rules against transferring the civilian population out of occupied territory. Now, as far as Russia's concerned, this war zone, the Donbass, the Donetsk and Lugansk provinces in Ukraine, they voted for independence from Ukraine 9 years ago. And 1 year ago, Russia recognized that independence. And then 6 months ago, it annexed those regions. So as far as Russia is concerned, it's simply moving children, you know, with the approval of their parents, or in many cases, these are orphans. It's moving them out of a war zone from one part of Russian territory to another part of Russian territory. But because if you're going to say, oh, no, all these areas that Ukraine has been bombing for 9 years, it's Ukraine's territory, and Ukraine has every right to bomb these areas, and you mustn't remove children from underneath Ukrainian bombs. And when I say Ukrainian bombs, I mean Jewish bombs, because Ukraine's run by Jews. That's what Putin is. That's what Putin is being indicted for. And I'm not kidding about that. So you talk about fake and gay. How gay can you get? I mean, that's not gay. That's just retarded. I don't even know. No, I don't want to insult gay people. I don't want to insult retarded people. I don't have words for it.
I've found that the ICC is currently headquartered in Dubai, in the United Arab Emirates. So there's that. But no, okay. Your points are well taken. Evacuating children from a war zone, that's the new international crime. But in light of this, not only has Putin went to Mariupol to oversee the rebuilding of that area, but also you have Xi Jinping meeting in Russia with Putin, and this whole Eastern thing where the East is consolidating power, I guess, and they're anticipating the fall of the West. I don't know. Is this what you would call the shift to the East? Some people call it the Eurasian shift. I don't know if you want to call it that.
Well, I guess you could call it that. I call it the end of the so-called unipolar moment. You had, after the dismemberment of the breakup of the Soviet Union, you had 3 decades of United States hegemony over the world, the United States as the hegemon. And has it been glorious for us? How glorious has it been? So we've fought a bunch of wars for Jews, and we've had our country taken away from us and given to random foreigners. Okay, so I don't know. Nobody should be upset by the United States government or the state, which isn't ours anymore because we're stateless people. I mean, we're still here, but our republic's been taken. And nobody should bemoan or mourn the loss of the world's only superpower status that the United States had, which it doesn't have now. And world politics is now reorganizing, and it's not reorganizing around the United States as the world's only superpower. It's reorganizing around a Moscow-Beijing axis. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a very positive development.
So she arrived in Moscow on Monday, I guess that would be today, for a 3-day state visit to meet with Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin. The two sides will discuss strategic cooperation in the energy and military spheres, as well as the Ukraine conflict. This is sort of the East's way of saying to the West, hey, we're together, and if you attack one of us, you attack both of us, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. It is that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, in the same way, the West has obviously been supplying Ukraine and dragging this war out. She is saying, we're supporting Russia in this endeavor. And so it's sort of this balance of power stands. I mean, you've had this balance of power of East and West for over a millennia now. And it's taken different forms. At one point it was the Holy Roman Empire against the Ottomans, and then the British Empire against the Ottomans, and then after World War I and World War II, that power from the British Empire shifted to the American Empire, and you had the Cold War between the American Empire and the Russian, the Soviet Union. And so the Cold War is over. America has sold out all of its production to the East, to China, and it still thinks it's a viable player. It still thinks it can dictate, but that's not the case. So I guess the question is, are we seeing a collapse in the West? Will the West collapse in, Russia, China, Iran, and the various allies? Will they see their own type of a unipolar power as the West collapse?
I think what's happening now, the counterbalance to American power is by its nature multipolar in nature. You could say that China's the stronger of the two countries, Russia and China, but the fact is Russia has the biggest nuclear capability. Russia has not just a large military, but a military that has experience. A military that has been engaged in obviously big time operations in Ukraine, but it's also been involved in Syria. It's got experience. The Chinese military hasn't really fought anything since a border skirmish with Vietnam over 40 years ago. It's got a big military. China has massive production, manufacturing capabilities. It's by far the largest manufacturing economy in the world. United States, and people will say United States moved its manufacturing out of the country. You can say that in a way. To a large extent, America. I mean, there's two ways that America lost manufacturing. One was by companies like GE, for instance, shutting down plants in Newark, New Jersey, and opening them in Kaohsiung, Taiwan. They were doing this type of stuff in the 1980s, or GM shutting down plants in Michigan and opening them up in Chihuahua or wherever near the in Mexico near the American border. That type of thing was going on, but there's also a lot of losing out in competition. So U.S. Steel didn't move operations to Nagoya, Japan, but U.S. Steel just lost competition to, Nippon Steel, and Ford lost competition to Toyota. It wasn't a matter of moving jobs over, and as a matter of fact, in the case of Toyota, Toyota actually opened up manufacturing facilities in the United States. It moved some of its jobs to America. But the United States, just its manufacturing has been hollowed out through, a few different mechanisms. It's been hollowed out, and we don't manufacture things anymore. China manufactures pretty much everything. There's some high-tech stuff that they don't manufacture yet. You've got a multipolar counterbalance to the United States. That China's the biggest part of it, but Russia is extremely important because Russia is such a strong military. And then other important countries are gravitating towards it. India's gravitating towards it. Saudi Arabia and Iran, and then most recently you've got this. Last week, President Assad of Syria went to Moscow. And Putin is brokering a peace deal between Syria and Turkey. Xi Jinping, or at least China, recently brokered a peace deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And so what happens when you're getting this China-Russia axis, and they're bringing peace to the Middle East in spite of in spite of Jewish power? The United States is kicking and screaming, saying, no, we can't have peace. But that's what's happening.
So up until now, I would say we have a symbiotic relationship between the East and the West. you know, where China is a great exporter and the U.S. is one of the great importers. And you would think that one can't survive without the other. But every one of our GOP candidates, whether it be Schwamy, DeSantis, or Trump, no matter who wins, they're angling for war with China or conflict with China, which doesn't make sense. You know, we've discussed it before. China's not interested in a destroyed U.S. They want to be able to export their product and get a good price for it and maintain their wealth status. Is there a point where China doesn't care whether the West consumes from them or not? Could China very well just make deals with these other countries and cut the West completely out? Could that symbiotic relationship be severed is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think it could be. You've got, well, for instance, China and India have historically over the past several, since Indian independence, they've had bad relations. They've had very bad relations. During the Cold War, India was a big importer of military hardware from the Soviet Union. China was allied with India's rival Pakistan, but it was also de facto allied with the United States. You had this weird politics going on. But now over the past year in particular, but over a decade, India and China both participated in BRICS. But now, since the Ukraine war, India has been moving even closer to both Russia and China. So things are... And India is a massive market. India might be full of poor people, but it's got an awful lot of poor people, and they do consume things. They will consume Chinese exports. There are other big countries that may be poor, but they've got huge numbers of people, and they will import product. Indonesia's got almost as many people as the United States. They're a lot poorer. They don't consume as much, but they consume a fair amount. And that's what this whole Belt and Road Initiative really, when you get down to it, the Belt and Road Initiative by China is a way of guaranteeing access to raw materials and to export markets all over the world, which reduces their dependence on American markets because they'll have access to markets everywhere else. So they'll be much less vulnerable.
So we are taking calls on the other side of the break, 512-248-8252, if you want to weigh in. I wanted to highlight this Putin's visit to Mariupol, and CNN.com calls it a defiant visit in light of his, I guess, the ICC's arrest warrant. He visits there and he is making sure that everyone is happy, that the rebuilding done by Russia is satisfactory. So, yeah, let's see what you make of this. Yeah, we're coming right up on the break, so we're going to have to come to the other side. But the visit to Mariupol. Building there.
Yeah, how many seconds do we have? Should I say something now? Well, Mariupol is part of Donetsk province. It was part of one of the provinces that... Well, okay, we'll get to it on the other side of the break. And I'm alone. Skin, yet you...
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Okay, we are back to the Monday night episode of In Plain Sight. We've got Patrick and Jeremy, and we were talking about Putin, Xi Jinping, and to the east. So Putin's got this arrest out from the ICC, and he defiantly, according to CNN, visits Mariupol to oversee the rebuilding there and to talk with people on the ground. He's met with Xi Jinping today. So I want to also get your take on this before we go to callers, Pat. It's been said that Trump is supposed to go to court and be arrested tomorrow, and I just took this as a whole lot of hyperbole, but I don't know, are these two things connected, the warrant for Putin and the arrest of Trump?
I doubt they're connected, but maybe in a way they're connected. They may just, because in both cases this is Jewish power at work. It really is. In the case of the international, I don't know a whole lot about the International Criminal Court, but I think it's pretty much dominated by the EU, and which is dominated by Jewish power. And obviously this, what's the guy's name? Alan Brigg or something or Alvin Brigg, the prosecutor in New York, is a George Soros prosecutor. So, it does have that kind of connection. And maybe there are also signs of desperation. In the case of Vladimir Putin, Mariupol is a city kind of in the corner of the Azov Sea, which is part of the Black Sea. And it's in the Donetsk province, but it was part of the Donetsk province that was not under the control of the Donetsk People's Republic that had declared independence in 2014. So when this Ukraine war started, it was one of the very early battlefields, and it was very, very bloody. And this was where they had this massive steelworks where the Azov Brigade, this so-called neo-Nazi group, which doesn't run Ukraine, but some of them have, you know, swastikas tattooed on their scalps or weird stuff like that. Doesn't necessarily make them the good guys. That they had been holed up in these the Azov Steelworks, which was in Mariupol, and it, which had an extensive underground tunnel system dating maybe as far back as World War II, certainly dating way back into the Cold War, and they were very much entrenched, and it took many weeks to finally dislodge them. So it was a big, bloody, symbolic battle, and there was a lot of damage done to the city. And Putin's visit demonstrates two things. One is that the city is fully fully secured. You wouldn't have Putin going into an unsecure area. But also, Putin has this track record of rebuilding cities that were destroyed in wars that he participated in. And so Grozny, which is the capital of the little Chechen Autonomous Republic, part of Russia, which had tried to declare independence in the 1990s, and Putin smashed it. He smashed it, and then he rebuilt it, and it's like Oz from the Wizard of Oz now, and the Chechens love Putin. And as soon as this war started, you had thousands and thousands of Chechen volunteers who went and fought in Mariupol and other places. And that's kind of like Putin, in terms of war, there will be a lot of destruction, which is very regrettable, but it's his style then to make sure things are rebuilt, and, you know, rebuilt very well. As for Trump, I don't know if he's going to be arrested or not. I don't know what to think. I guess we'll find out tomorrow, or maybe we won't find out tomorrow. Maybe it'll just be something that's going to be hanging there. And supposedly there's also this black prosecutor, George Soros, female black prosecutor in Atlanta, who wants to indict Donald Trump. What is the exact charge? It has to do with him questioning the validity of the election. He called the governor or the secretary of state of Georgia and complained about the 2020 election, and somehow, oh, that's racketeering. That's racketeering. So I guess we're going to have a lot of this kind of drama.
Yeah, the drama with Trump is really fake and gay sounding, because it stems over this $130,000 payment he made to Stormy Daniels, some online like hooker. It's so gay. I mean, of all the things that they could come after Trump for, payment to a hooker just seems, I don't know. So stage is the word that I'm coming up with. But
yeah.
Hey, we got a caller. Let's get our caller's take on this, and we'll hold him through the break. I think we got Benny in Indiana.
Hi, guys.
Benny.
Hey, I don't want to waste time about the Stormy Daniels, or as Mark Dice calls her, Sloppy Daniels, but Judge Napolitano had a really good breakdown on the really kind of inside legal argument that they're trying to make. It's really kind of ridiculous. It's kind of like if Trump paid off Stormy Daniels because he was trying to save his marriage, then it's okay. But if it was paying off to save his campaign, then maybe it's a campaign violation, and it'd normally be a misdemeanor, but he's upgraded it to like a felony. It's really sketchy. Public
broadcasting, but, real news, real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Memory, your lifeline is burning holes. Recover the damage, bring it all home. Follow the breeze, just like a summer song. They stay there forever. I try to remember. Come home.
Night, we got Vinny in Indiana. Vinny, you were talking about this whole Trump fiasco. Did he pay for the annuals out of campaign money, or did he pay for it out of his own? That seems to be the point that you were bringing up.
Yeah, if he paid the money because he was trying to save his marriage, it's not an issue. But if he paid it in order to save his campaign, he'd have to put it down as a campaign expense. And since he didn't do it, normally it'd be a misdemeanor, but now they're going to say, like, well, it's some kind of procedural thing, and they're going to upgrade it to, like, a felony. It's really, really thin gruel, and Napolitano did a good job explaining it. That's the only person I've seen who's made any sense of it. So I haven't heard Robert Barnes and Villafree explain it, but it's really sketchy. But, you know, it'll be enough to get CNN and MSNBC going. So I don't want to say any more about that. What I really want to talk about is what Patrick has been talking about, these enormous diplomatic victories that Russia and China are pulling off with India and Turkey and Syria and the Iran-Saudi Arabia deal. And I just wonder what's the next thing going to be, because the CIA seems to be trying to pull some gay op in Pakistan, and if that doesn't go through, and I know Russia and India have gotten along, And Pakistan was kind of had a relationship with China, but maybe between Russia and China, they could resolve conflicts between Pakistan and India, and then if that would, we couldn't use Pakistan as a base to attack Iran in case we got in a war with Iran, or we couldn't use Saudi Arabia as a base to attack Iran if we got in a war with Iran. And Iran, in the last 2 years, ever since they killed Soleimani, Iran's been spending a ton of money on military hardware, building tons of tanks and all this sort of stuff. We could get pushed out of the whole Middle East, and the next shoe to drop may be if Saudi Arabia stops this stupid war in Yemen, which would block off the Red Sea and would worry Egypt. Egypt might now become under the BRICS Soviet Chinese orbit. So now Israel is surrounded by countries which are no longer vassal states of the U.S. Is that, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's the direction it's moving in. In Pakistan, you did have, I guess, what you could call a gay op about 10 months ago or so. When the war started, Pakistan was under Premier Imran Khan, who is very much an alpha male. He's, I guess, the best cricket player in the world. I don't know much about cricket. It's kind of like baseball, and you get macho guys in baseball. And I always thought he was half British for some reason. He has a very European-looking kind of face. He looks like he could be half British, but he's not. He's from an upper caste, or I guess they don't have caste, but he's from a noble family in Pakistan. And he'd been prime minister for, I guess, about 3 years, and honestly had not done a particularly good job. There was corruption, there was economic problems, but he was ousted in a very, very shady way that did seem to have a lot of American involvement. And now that he's been ousted, he's become very, very popular, because as far as the people were concerned, the great bulk of the people, he might not have done a good job, but he was their prime minister. And, now there's a former prime minister who's come back and he's prime minister again. He's very, very unpopular. So if democracy had anything to do with it, then Imran Khan would be back in. But what you've got is the current prime minister is trying to put Imran Khan in prison. But like you said, the India-Pakistan, this long India-Pakistan rivalry, there is something to it. It's not just like a misunderstanding. It's not just Cold War politics. There's a large province called Kashmir, which I guess had a Muslim majority but wound up in India, and then it's been kind of divided and there's a ceasefire. And it's, I don't know if it's really economically super important, but it's in the mountains. It's got a nice climate. So there's been a lot of dispute over that. Is it something that could be resolved through Chinese or Russian mediation? Maybe it is. I really don't know. And it seems to me that there are issues that are real issues, but could be resolved if it weren't for international politics, say Cold War rivalries that benefit from having division. It's kind of divide and conquer. So that's my take on it. I'm not an expert on that part of the world, but that's what I think.
Yeah. What's going to happen if India, Pakistan kind of goes in with Russia and, like I said, Israel's no longer surrounded by vassal states all hooked onto the petrodollar teat. And, England's invited all of these Pakistanis and Indians into their country. And what if they're no longer, we'll go with whatever the Jews want us to vote do. Things could switch around really quick.
Things could switch around really quick. The point I make is that their Jewish power has this very, very vulnerable Achilles heel, in that Jewish power is dependent on nobody talking about it. So right now, Jeremy sent me some clips from our previous shows, you know, highlights from the previous shows. Well, Kevin McDonald, one of the clips is going to be Kevin McDonald saying the thing about Jewish power is everybody in charge has to be, has to know about it, but they mustn't ever talk about it. But if people start talking about it, then the power itself declines. And of course, so there's that aspect. And then there's also the aspect that the Jews in charge of the United States and other Western countries have just been, I would say, because they're not all knowing and all powerful and always smart, that they've been screwing up. You know, other people will say, no, no, Jews are, they always get their way. So if they're losing in Ukraine and they're losing in destroying the, crashing the economies in the countries they control, it's because they have some ulterior motive. But either way, I mean, the countries that they control are losing big time. And I think there's incredible vulnerability.
I just want to say one last thing. I think it was Scott, Douglas McGregor said something like, as long as all these diplomatic victories are happening off the battlefield, I mean, Russia has no incentive to try to win this war quickly. If it stretches on to next fall, I mean, you know, Europe's going to be more in debt to them economically. They're going to, you know, there's going to be all these gas shortages. Egypt's going to need all this, you know, resources from the Soviet Union, from Russia. And, you know, China by then may have resolved the whole issue over Taiwan. So, you know, like I said, I think the next issue is going to be Iran. So that's the way I see it.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, we live in interesting times. All sorts of things are happening. Donald Trump, who's no leader, we were talking about Donald Trump earlier, he's no leader, and he'll say very contradictory things. He has, Jeremy made the point that Trump and all these other leading Republican candidates are bashing China and seem to be like poised to go to war with China. And Donald Trump hasn't been quite as militarily belligerent. He hasn't, but he has said things like, you know, we need to effectively cut off all trade with China, just not import from China anymore, which is unrealistic. But at the same time, he's also a week or two ago, he made a speech where he said that our problems aren't the Russians, our problems aren't the Chinese, our problems are the people who ruled this country. And he's the only person who knows how to defeat them. So what does that even mean? And, you know, the thing about Donald Trump is he'll say one thing, and then somebody, you know, Jared Kushner would come in the room or somebody else would come in the room and say, no, actually, you want to do this. And it'd say, OK, you know, I'm going to build a wall. And then he comes in and they say, no, actually, let's have more immigrants than ever before. And they say, OK, that sounds good. So you never know.
If China and Taiwan come together, what case does anybody have against China? I mean, to me, because we have huge trade with Taiwan and China. I mean, if they make an agreement, to me, it's all like, all, you know, they're going to have to talk about something else.
Yeah. Next year, there's going to be elections in Taiwan. And Taiwan, currently, the more popular party is the Nationalist Party. And even though the Nationalist Party is the party that effectively broke away from China because it didn't want to be ruled by the Chinese Communist Party, and they were in a civil war and they lost the civil war but managed to cling on to Taiwan, they have a very strong Chinese identity, and they are very opposed to Taiwanese independence, and could very plausibly, after coming to power next year, work out some sort of deal where, just like with Hong Kong, you had one country, two systems, you could get some sort of one country, two systems where Taiwan would, the Taiwanese authorities would say, yes, we're definitely part of China, and but, you know, we're going to have certain autonomy here. We're going to have our own legal and economic system. And that would be, you know, and it would, in the case of Hong Kong, it was guaranteed for 50 years. And we're about, what are we, 30 years into it, 25 years into it?
Yeah, and then Taiwan says, bye-bye, Blinken, spend the rest of your time air-kissing air-kissing trannies who win some award for being Woman of the Year. You know, we don't want anything to do with you. Good night, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vinny. One of the takes that I had on this whole arrest of Trump tomorrow, I think the system wants people to think that they're still able to be engaged. And if Trump is targeted, then people will think that the system is still, you know, legitimate, and they can still participate in it, in protesting the arrest of Trump. I think the system has decided that DeSantis is not a viable candidate. And so if they attempt some persecution or arrest of Trump tomorrow, the purpose of it is to get the Trump tards into thinking that, you know, this whole thing is still viable. That, you know, Trump is on their side, and that they should protest this whole arrest of him. Because the Stormy Daniels thing, I mean, it is so fake and gay. I mean, like, there's so many other things that come after Trump for. Why this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Why indeed? You know, I would say something like, well, maybe the prosecutor wants to go after him. This is what's most convenient to him, but it's really not. You know, is he the prosecutor for Lower Manhattan? Is that his beat? And it could be a tax thing. It could probably be all sorts of things. You know, perhaps maybe they're not going to arrest him, but by getting all this in the news, it gets Stormy Daniels back in the news, which is kind of embarrassing. Would that hurt him with married women? I don't know. I really don't know what the thinking is. If Trump is arrested, it's a big deal. But if he's not arrested, then, you know, it's just, it'll disappear. I don't know. I don't know what'll happen. But if he's arrested, it's a big deal. But if he's not arrested, then it's just maybe just more distraction.
Well, here's the question. Do you think the system really wants Ron DeSantis? You know, that's my take on this. Are they drumming up this Trump arrest thing to try to get more support for Trump? Because they understand that DeSantis is, you know, a failed candidate.
Yeah, I don't think there is a system, but I don't think the system has a single mind. And there are probably people who think, well, you know, Trump was president before, and even though it was chaotic, we got a lot out of him. There's probably people who think Trump was president before and it was really chaotic, and we can't handle that anymore. It would be a lot better to have even a Biden or another Democrat or Ron DeSantis or, you know, Nikki Haley or something like that. Something like that. I don't know. And who knows? But the election itself, in election campaigns are good vehicles for movements. So the campaign, the politicking, is going to be interesting and important, even if the results of the election wind up just being kind of the same old thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm still on the Kanye kayak, by the way. He's been quiet for the past few months, but I'm expecting something to happen, and
that's interesting.
And it could only be fun.
Adidas has suffered much loss with getting rid of Kanye. And, you know, we know he's been silent for a couple of months, but Adidas has acquiesced loss to, going against Kanye on the Jewish thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff happening. Oh, we're on the break. Who knew?
That's Bert. Sorry. Sometimes when your hopes have all been shattered, there's nowhere to turn. You wonder how you keep going. Think of all the things that really matter and the chances you.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Segment of the Patrick and Jeremy Show on Monday night. We've got this Ohio train derailment. Anybody that protests this could be Russian disinformation people. It's from Yahoo News. Soon after the train derailed and spilled toxic chemicals in Ohio last month, anonymous pro-Russian accounts started spreading misleading claims and anti-American propaganda about it on Twitter using Elon Musk's new verification system. Basically, if you protest the derailment in Ohio and Palestine of toxic chemicals being brought out to the population, you are part of a Russian disinformation campaign. That's the gist of the article.
There's been attempts to delegitimize all sorts of opposition, all sorts of, you know, what should be just legitimate political action, but it's delegitimized. So that's what they've been trying to do. And, you know, unfortunately, a big hunk of the American populace is just willing to go along with whatever. Kind of disheartening.
Right. Well, any type of pushback against the American empire is Russian disinformation at this point. You know, since the war in Ukraine. That's just in the article.
Well, I've just gotten sick of the whole word Russian disinformation. What, I mean, what's disinformation even supposed to be?
Right. So back to this Trump thing. If Trump is arrested tomorrow, will it strengthen his campaign or will it weaken it?
So Musk said it would make him win by a landslide. I don't know. I mean, bring up Stormy Daniels. I don't know. I think to the extent that say married women did vote for Trump, at least married white women voted for Trump by like a 55-45 margin, something like that. I don't know. At this point, it might be old news. How many people never heard of it? How many people would really be put off by being reminded of it? Probably not too many. On the other hand, it would be an outrage. It would be an outrage for Trump to be arrested for something like this. We've never had a former president be arrested, and to say that the first time a former president should be arrested, out of all the things that presidents have done, that trying to pay some hush money to a hooker or porn.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.